We left off at verse 10, which we've already looked at. We'll read it again. It said, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." And so you remember, they're going to, the sinners, they want to, and they're going to entice you to sin, and you have got to, your responsibility is to resist that. But at the same time, you've got to be trying to entice them to come over to Jesus. And you need to be able to do that without compromising your faith and without consenting to what the sinner is enticing you to do. Okay? All right, verse 11. "If they say, come with us." Okay? Again, that's what we ought to be saying to them. Come with us. Let me introduce you to Jesus. Okay, that's what they say to us. Come with us. Just this one time, you know. And see, the thing is, you got to keep in mind, Christians stop witnessing, but the world never stops witnessing. Okay, it says, if they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. They don't need a reason. They do that stuff just because, without cause. You see that? They're not harming other people, you know, for a reason. It's not to get even, it's not to get revenge, it's just what they do. They steal because they are thieves. They lie because they're liars. Verse 12, "Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit." Okay, so what God's giving us there is a picture of what he did to Korah. If you know the story, remember that rebellion? God opened up the earth, swallowed them, those people up alive, swallowed them up whole. They went down alive. They didn't die first. They were alive as they went down. You know, it's just right all the way down alive, screaming till they hit those flames straight into the pit of hell. They went from living on the earth with a chance to get right with God to living in hell straight shot. And you know what the wicked want? They want to swallow you up. When that man goes down to the bank and he says, "I want to borrow $300,000 for what? Well, I want to open a nightclub. Well, he couldn't care less how many marriages he is going to break up with his new business, how many children he's going to leave without their father, without their mother. He couldn't care less how many people are going to be beaten or bruised or killed by drunks. He couldn't care less. He will swallow them up alive. He'll take their money. He'll push them out the door. When he's done with them, and he won't give it a second thought. That's the world. That guy standing down there on the street corner selling that dope, those drugs, do you think he cares if you end up dead in a gutter with a needle between your toes? He couldn't care less. He'll swallow you up alive. He'll take your life from you while you're standing on your feet, and he won't give it a second thought. Now, I don't know why everybody doesn't preach against that stuff, but God helping me, I'm gonna do it. That world is not neutral. That world, it's not harmless. And sister, there's a man out there that will take you away from your husband. And that man couldn't care less what happens to your husband or your children. And sir, same thing to you. There's a woman, she's either on your job or in your neighborhood. She might even show up at the church, and she will catch your eye. She'll take your eye, she'll take your heart, she'll take your emotions, she'll take you across town with her, and she couldn't care less what happens to your wife and what happens to your children. She'll just swallow you up alive. You say, are you saying that she's working for the devil? Well, if she is, she doesn't even know what she's doing. But look what it says. It's without a cause. They're not planning these things. They're not plotting these things. Ephesians 2:2 says they're just flowing along with the course of this world. The course of this world. I know people, and so do you, their daughters will be pregnant before they're 18. And that mother, she doesn't get up every morning and say, you know something, my goals for my daughter is for her to be pregnant when she's 17. No, she just says to her daughter, go on out there, go in the world, go to the mall, put on what they tell you to put on, stick the things in your ears, listen to them sing about what they want you to believe in, go to the activity that's planned by the school, and stay as late as they tell you to stay late, you know, and then all of a sudden, what, you're pregnant? What did you do? How dare you? Hey, Mom, you're stupid. There's a world out there waiting to swallow your daughter alive. And the only person you're trying to keep her away from, the only person you're concerned about is a mean preacher who makes her feel bad about herself. And that's what's going on. It really is. And so the Lord says, that crowd, as soon as they cross your path, you ought to tell them, I'm not consenting to you. I do not give you my consent. Verse 13. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Doesn't that sound great? Well, sounds like communism. But remember that boy that left home in Luke 15? How did that one purse work out for him? You know, he didn't he end up in a pig pen when he was hungry? Didn't the Bible say no man gave unto him? Oh yeah, they've got a common purse. Sure they do. As long as you're the one buying, your purse is common to them. They've got a common purse as long as you're the one driving. They got a common purse as long as you're the one that's attracting girls or the boys are looking your way. You know, and it's an advantage for them to be with you. But when sin finally beats you to a pulp, where are they? They're gone. They're gone. They don't need you anymore. You don't benefit them anymore. If you ever get a chance to preach or to serve in some way in a rescue mission, you will notice that the people who come in there to be fed are coming in one by one. They're alone. But if you notice people coming to church, you'll see that they come through the doors in groups, friends, fellowship, companionship, families, you know. So where are all the homeless people's friends? where's their drinking buddies? You know? You'll see that. They don't go into the mission in groups. So that world, when they spit you out, they're done with you. They'll leave you alone. Think about Jesus up there on the mount, that mount temptation, rather. Didn't Satan say to Jesus, "We shall find all precious substance in a manner of speaking. We shall fill our houses with spoil." Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Let's join together, Jesus, just you and me. You know what he said? You know, he said, everything's mine. All these are given me. You want them? Come on, you and me. Just bow down, worship me. I'll fill your house with spoil. Come on up here to the pinnacle of the temple. Looky here. Why don't you just fly down right now? Everybody's going to just worship you, man. This will be great. This will be great. You and me. I'll call the shots and you jump off the pinnacle of the temple. You and me. Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He said, "It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Get out of here. I'm not teaming up with you. You know what this book of Proverbs will do? It'll teach you judgment. Right now, I'm being enticed. Right now, I see where that road is going to lead. Right now, I say, no, I don't give my consent. That's what this book of Proverbs is for, to teach you something, to open your eyes, to help you to be aware of these things so you see them when they're before it's too late. All right, verse 15. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Here's what's going to get a young man into trouble. He's going to try to figure out how far down the road he can go with them before he's gone too far. A young lady needs to realize if she messes up her life, she'll mess it up because she'll say, well, I know this is farther than my mom wanted me to go, but I think I can go that far and I'll be okay. This is farther than that preacher said I should go, but I think I can go that far and I'll just get off the road a little bit later before it's too late. You know what the Lord said? He said, don't even put your foot on that path. Don't put your foot on that path. You know what? We're more concerned, honestly. We're more concerned with our bodies than we are with our souls. We're more concerned with our physical life than we are our spiritual life. Because if I said, how about 6 months of cancer? And then you can decide if you want to stick with cancer or not. You'd say, you're crazy. No way. So I say, well, how about we just, you know, we'll just start with leukemia. You know, if you decide that leukemia is not for you, you know, later you can decide you don't want to do that leukemia thing. You'd say, you're crazy. I'm not going to do that. You know, okay, well, look, I'm not going to break all your fingers. I'll just take a hammer. I'll only break one finger. Okay, I mean, come on. You need to just try it. You know, how can you say it's bad if you've never done it? Come on, try it. And you say, no, you're crazy. But the world of the flesh and of the devil says, oh, come on, just one weekend. Come on, just one night. Come on, just one weekend. Can't you come with us instead of going to church? See, with our body, we'd say, I'm not starting on a road that I don't want to be on. But with our soul, we say, well, let me just see how far I can go. And then, you know, way back when the churches started with this irreverent dress, irreverent music, irreverent worship, every one of those churches said, we'll never go that far. And they've all gone that far. Every one of them said, we'll do this, but we won't do that. We'll take it to here, but we won't take it to there. We'll bring this in from the world, but we won't bring in the rest of it. It's all in there. It's all in. The Lord said, don't put your foot on a path that you don't want to go to the end of. Okay, that's important. Don't test those waters. Now, we're older. This is not a high school age group. But the teaching, the principle still applies. You say, well, I'm not going to commit adultery. Well, then don't even kiss her. Well, I'm not going to fornicate. I would never do that. Well, then don't exchange spit. If you don't want to go to the end of the road, I'll tell you how to keep from going to the end of the road. Don't get on the road. There are probably people out there who stopped with marijuana. But why get on that road? There's Christians who don't see anything wrong with social drinking. And their argument is, I drink socially. I'm not a drunkard. If there's one man in this world whose first drink turned him into a hopeless drunk, God help me never to encourage that man to take his first drink. If you don't want to go to the end of the road, stay off the road. If you don't want to end up a heretic, why dabble with heretics? Stay off that road. Well, you know, I know my Bible well enough. I'm not going to go that far. You don't know the Bible well enough if you're even thinking about getting on that road that God told you to stay off of. You're kidding yourself. And there, I'll illustrate. There was a man, a real man. He was a great Christian man. A great Christian man. But in his senior years, as an older man, his consuming desire became to win a Jehovah's Witness to Jesus. Okay, that's commendable. Okay, that's a good thing. He began to study everything he could get his hands on about Jehovah's Witnesses. But in the end, at the end of that road, he ended up questioning the deity of Christ, the Trinity, and the cross. Good man. Godly man who thought, I can get on this path because, well, I've walked with God for so long, I can get off this path anytime I want to. And you know what the Lord said? Why put your foot on it? Why even start? I've given you truth. Why dabble with error? There's purity. Why mess with that dirt? There's holiness. Why dabble with the world? Devote yourself to what is good and what is right and true. Don't mix it all up. Don't mix it up. Don't, you know, have a little truth and a little bit of questionable stuff. You know, think about it. If I brought in a box of donuts and I told you only one of these donuts is poison, you wouldn't take any donut. You say, well, you know, most of them are good. There's only one that's poison. If you've got any sense at all, you're not going to take any of it because you might be the one that gets poisoned. Right? I don't want a version that's only got a few mistakes in it. Okay? I don't want to start following a guy that's got, you know, a lot of things right, but just a few things that are really messed up. Why pick that? All right. I think you got the point. Verse 16. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. As a pastor, I'm jealous of the sports leagues. I'm jealous of the rock promoter. I'm jealous of the fashion industry. If we want to get people to do something or get people to come to church, man, we got to beg, we got to plead, we got to threaten, we have to pray, we have to ask, we have to invite, we've got to encourage to get people to drag their feet to church or to do something for God. The world, all they got to do, they say, he's the newest thing. And all the girls run to him. They won the championship. And everybody goes out and buys jerseys and caps and tickets, and their feet are swift. Boy, when this world gets their eye on something, you can't slow them down, man. They'll spend all their money. They'll spend all their time. They'll paint their faces. They'll yell. They'll scream. They'll jump up and down. They're in a hurry to serve their idols. is. You say to the church, all right, we're going to have, I'll try to be there. Oh, sorry, I couldn't make it. I wanted to be there, but, you know, I got this third cousin. I can't stand them, but, you know, they're coming to town in a couple of weeks, and I thought I'd better go do some grocery shopping. I don't want my third cousin to show up here and I don't have any groceries. Their feet are swift. They'll run to evil, but do we run to righteousness? They make haste to shed blood. Do we make haste to proclaim the blood of Jesus Christ? They're outdoing us in their wickedness. 17, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. What do we know about birds? Well, there's an expression we call people a bird brain, right? And there's a reason for that. Have you ever noticed the size of a turkey's head in comparison with the size of its body? There can't be much brain in that little head. Teeny tiny little brain, you know, and that used to be a common insult when I was a boy. We'd go around calling people a turkey, and that meant your brain's about as big as your, you know, as this, and means you're dumb. But you know something? If you go out in the yard and there's turkeys all around you in that yard, and you say, "I'm gonna make a trap to catch me a turkey right here," that bird with a brain that big is not going to walk over there and get into that trap. That's God's point there. If he sees you set the trap, a turkey won't walk into a trap if he watches you set that trap. Okay? But here's human beings with big brains, right? And we've watched 6,000 years of humanity fall for the same deceit. And we walk right into it. Walk right into that trap. Did you know that every sin you need to know about and be warned about, it's written in a book that's 2,000 years old? It still works. Same tricks, same traps. The devil shows up in that garden 6,000 years ago. He says, look at that, you know, and it worked. That was his method then. All he had to do was say, well, look at that. What's the method today? You guys leave the church, somebody walking down the sidewalk catches your eye. The devil says, oh, look at that. You know, and it's just amazing. The devil, he says to that woman in the garden, don't you feel cheated? Don't you feel like God didn't give you the best part? 6,000 years later, women turn on Oprah. Don't you feel cheated? Don't you feel like you didn't get the best part? You should be just like a man. You know what the Lord's saying? Why are you getting trapped in a trap that you watched the devil set? You got more brains than a turkey, don't you? All right, verse 18. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. Okay. All right, so look what's the end. This is the end result of those that are out to get you. They end up getting themselves. They're going to reap what they sow. If they sow to the flesh, they're going to reap corruption. If they sow to sin, they're going to reap death. They think that they're harming the other person, but in so doing, they're harming themselves. And that's the way it always works out. Verse 19, so are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Proverbs Proverbs is going to have a great deal to say about money, about riches, about wealth, poverty, and we'll look at all that as we go through. But look what he says here. If your desire for material advancement would lead you to take it from somebody else by improper means, illegal means, you are going to pay for that. Okay? Now, why all this criminal activity by governments, by individuals, by corporations, by citizens, by neighbors? Because people don't fear God. And that's it. They're not afraid of God. 100 years ago in America, you would settle things with a handshake. Now they put a 60-second ad on TV for a car, and the ad is 30 seconds, and for the other 30 seconds, there's a guy talking as fast as he can to try and cover all the lies. Whenever I go home to America and see the commercials, it's humorous to see all the cover-up they got to do at the end of these commercials because they know they're lying to people. Here's a man selling medicine. This is one of the, they're always selling medicine on those TV commercials. And he says, "Hi, I used to have dropsy-turvy disease, and then I got me this pill. You need this pill. And now, since I started taking this pill, I'm playing with the kids, and now I'm jumping over the hood of my car like it's nothing. And now, man, I feel great. Ask your doctor, how about this pill?" And then for 45 seconds, they say, "It could cause your eyes to fall out. It could cause your nose to drop to your belly. It could cause your guts to rot. It could cause your leg to fall off. It could put you in a coma." You know why all that stuff's in there and legally has to be? Because they're all a bunch of liars. And you know why they tell all those lies, even if they know it could kill somebody? Because they don't fear God. If everybody in your town was afraid of God, you wouldn't be afraid of anybody in your town. They'd be afraid to hurt you. They'd be afraid to steal from you. I remember sometimes when I was a young boy, when I thought I had gotten away with doing something that I knew was wrong. I didn't think there was any way anybody could ever find out what I did. But looking back, I don't think I ever did anything that didn't eventually get discovered. And every time I got caught, I'd have to bend over and take my punishment in the end. And as a result, when I'd go to church on Sunday morning, and the preacher would say, "If you sin, God's going to find out about it," I believed him. And if parents would just watch their kids more carefully and discipline them when they need it, they'll grow up with a healthy fear of God, a proper fear of God. But for the most part in this generation, here's what you got. Mom says, "Oh, don't do that, honey. If you do that, it's going to be a timeout. I'm warning you, okay? If you do that again, it's going to be a timeout. I really mean it this time. Okay, I'm going to count to three. 1, 2, 2.5, 2 3/4, 2 7/8. Well, I wish I had more fractions. You're still doing it. Please don't, honey." You got a generation now that believes God's not going to do nothing to me. Because the parents never did nothing to them when they warned them. And they're not afraid of God. The Bible says here, you better not be greedy of gain. If you have got to get that gain by harming somebody else, you know, people say there's nothing in the Bible about gambling. You better not take that man's grocery money. Be careful. But he's the one, he wanted to take the chance. He chose to gamble. Well, just because he's stupid doesn't give you the right to prey upon him. You're out there looking for someone stupid to steal his money, right? If you want him to gamble, and that's your goal. All right, well, we could talk about how the government's guilty of taking food off of the hard-working man's table to feed the man that refuses to work, but there will be plenty of opportunities to do that in this study. So we'll go ahead. We'll stop there for tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for being with us, for opening our eyes, for helping us to hear your word. We pray now, Lord, that you'd help us to lift up our prayer requests, to hear from some missionaries, and to be attentive to those things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.